4E18. Welcome back to Fanacheck. This is the season 4 finale. William Devane, part 3. Bill Devane, if you're nasty. This is the longest I've gone without doing a podcast episode. It's been over 2 weeks. Our holidays got ravaged here with COVID. My wife had COVID during Christmas. I had it over New Year's. It affected going to the grandparents and all that stuff. So I was unable to knock out this season 4 finale for you. But we're doing it now. Hope you all had a great Christmas. Hope you all had a fun and safe New Year. And let's hit 2024 hard with William Devane, part 3. So we left off in 93, right? Knott's Landing is ended. How did William Devane react, you ask? Did he take some R&R to put his nose to the grindstone? Let's take a look. So he comes out swinging in 93 with yet another TV show. This guy's like the Bill Bixby, man. Bill Bixby had a lot of TV shows, but not like my man William Devane here. So he starts off in 93 with his another TV show, which I remember I watched. It was Phenom. Not sure if any of you remember Phenom. It ran from 93 to 94, only one season, 22 episodes. I'll read you the synopsis and I'll walk you through the cast. So a young tennis pro must face life's challenges with her single mother, her spoiled little sister, her insecure brother, and her overbearing coach. So the overbearing coach, of course, was Mr. William Devane. The lead, well, I guess not really the lead, but the phenom, the teenage tennis player, was Angela Gerthels. She didn't have a lot going on at the time. I think her big thing was she was Kevin McAllister's older sister on Home Alone, the one who basically rags on her for not being able to pack himself. The little sister was Ashley Johnson. Now, Ashley Johnson was coming off of Growing Pains. She was the youngest sister, Chrissy. Now, Growing Pains did that thing that a lot of sitcoms, especially in the 80s, did. Although they still do it now. Modern Family, of course, did it. Where, you know, the series is getting a little long in the tooth. The kids are getting a little long in the tooth. So they have a late pregnancy, right? An unexpected pregnancy. Well, Growing Pains did that, but then they made a mistake that kind of pissed off a lot of fans. So I don't know what season it was. We'll say season 4 or 5. The mom, played by Joanna Kearns, right? Joanna Kearns? Yeah, Carol Seaver was the character. She gets pregnant to have a baby. So they do a whole season with a baby. Then the following season, and that baby is Chrissy. The following season, there's no time jump for anybody else, but Chrissy's now like a 5 or 6 year old. And all the audience was like, what the hell happened? So all of a sudden they go from baby to 5 or 6 year old, but no time jump in the series or for the rest of the cast. So that was kind of weird. That's Ashley Johnson. The lead though was Judith Light. So this was billed as Judith Light's big return to TV. She of course played Angela in Who's the Boss. And that was like the big thing. I remember that's how it was billed. It's, you know, wow, Judith Light's return to TV, which is interesting because I feel like Judith Light was probably like the fourth lead in Who's the Boss, right? Tony Danza was the lead. I'd argue Alyssa Milano was up there. The character of Mona, what the hell was her name? I can never remember her name. Mona, played by Katherine Helmond. I'd say she was probably like the third lead, maybe even the second lead, right? Tied with Alyssa Milano. And then you had Judith Light. So anyway, I didn't think the world was demanding that Judith Light return to TV, but she did. So that's the primary cast. But Todd Luizzo was in this too. Todd Luizzo, oh, by the way, Angela Gerthels, the tennis player, she went on to have an appearance in Jerry Maguire, as did her co-star from Phenom, Todd Luizzo. Todd Luizzo was the nanny in Jerry Maguire who loved jazz. I'm going to teach him all about jazz. He also had a great role alongside Jack Black and John Cusack in High Fidelity. But that's the gist of the cast here. The show was co-created by Sam Simon. Sam Simon, very successful, also a co-creator and producer of The Simpsons. In the 90s, he was really a staple of the Howard Stern Show. Big animal lover, big animal activist, was super wealthy because of the Simpsons money. You know, that's some serious money there. He passed away really young. He died, I believe it was cancer, in 2015. He was 59 years old, but he co-created this show. There is some William Devane trivia regarding this show, Phenom. By the way, I remember the show, but I don't remember if it was any good or not. I just remember being like, oh, okay, it's Judith Light and the girl from Growing Pains. And oh, that guy, William Devane, I like him. That's really all I remember. Here's some interesting trivia, though. Because of billing disputes, William Devane's name didn't appear in the opening credits. I wonder what that's about. Well, let's read more trivia. TV Guide reported on August 21st, 1993, that an early buzz had William Devane stealing the show, and the actor briefly went AWOL, skipping an important photo shoot to get a better deal for himself. It's about money, billing, and a few other matters, confirmed a representative of Devane. So how about that? So again, I didn't really know the show too well, so why don't we read a review? Let's see what the people thought, because I am, of course, a man of the people, unless I disagree with the people, in which case I'm not. Let's find a review. Let's see here. Where are the no reviews? Here we go. Here's a review called I Miss This Show. Sounds promising. I thought me and a friend were the only one who liked this show. I thought all girls were cute, but the thing that drew me the most was how over the top Brian Doolin was. I remember one episode where he was saying how his mom walked in on him when he was really enjoying a magazine's pictorial. Okay, this has just gotten weird, so I guess a kid got caught beating off. Let's read another review. Remember this one? That's the title of that review. Great show! I'm sad that it was canceled. While most people don't even remember this show, it seems that the casting director of Jerry Maguire had faint recollection. Watch the movie closely and you will notice that Angela Gertles was cast in a tiny role as a tennis player, and Todd Luizzo played Chad, the nanny, who loved jazz. That's right, like I said, Angela Gertles, if you remember this scene, when Jerry's losing all his clients, she's one of his clients. Again, she's a tennis player. And she's like, oh, Jerry, how could they do this to you? And she's crying. And she's like, hold on. Oh, God, who could be calling at a time like this? And she goes to take the other call. Hi, and, you know, all chipper. And it's still Jerry. And he's like, still me. And then she fakes crying again. But that's her. And that's a wrap on Phenom. But that's how William Devane starts 1993, man. Comes out strong. So 94 is a pretty busy year for William Devane as well. Besides Phenom, he does an episode of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, which I never watched. No interest. I don't know. I don't have an interest in Dean Cain. I don't really give a shit about Terry Hatcher either. I don't know. I'm not a huge superhero guy, but something about this show just never attracted me. Now, the rest of 94 is chat-worthy. He does two TV movies and a straight-to-video feature film. We're going to discuss all three, so let's go. The first TV movie of 1994 is For the Love of Nancy. For the Love of Nancy. I remember this one as well. So I'll read you the synopsis first. The parents of an anorexic woman fight to save her life. That woman was Nancy Walsh, played by Tracy Gold. So I remember this. So Tracy Gold, of course, also coming off of Growing Pains, just like Ashley Johnson, a phenom. You know, Growing Pains is over. Well, Tracy Gold actually really had anorexia in real life. If you go back and watch Growing Pains, she's really missing from the final season because she was dealing with her anorexia. So they kind of wrote her off the show. I think she got a scholarship somewhere, was working somewhere. But they wrote her off the show because of that. So I remember when this TV movie came out, it was pretty graphic. They kept showing close-ups of the girl's body, which at that point I don't think was Tracy Gold. Tracy Gold was kind of on the upswing, on the recovery from her anorexia, whereas the movie was portraying a girl who was in the midst of it. And so I think it was a body double, but it was really graphic how thin the girl was. And I just remember that. That's the big thing that jumped out at me. Again, the lead is Tracy Gold. Jill Clayburgh is in this. Mark Paul Gosselaar's in it. That guy, he doesn't go away, does he? He's never had a hit like Saved by the Bell, but man, that son of a bitch keeps working, doesn't he? There really are no other big names in this. I'm going to dig deep and go all the way through. Maybe someone had a really small role. No, it doesn't look like. Nope, that's about it. Those are the two biggest names. Really, Jill Clayburgh, of course, Devane, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and Tracy Gold. Again, she really had anorexia. I made a note to read some trivia, so let's read some trivia. Boy, here it is. Tracy Gold, who was once... God, something popped up. Tracy Gold, who was once an anorexic user... used her life experience to help her in this role. Although she was still undergoing recovery for her anorexia, she was in full makeup to appear anorexic. Now, I also want to read a trivia because this is interesting, okay? Now, this trivia... Or excuse me, a review. Here's why this review is interesting, because it's written by Nancy Walsh, the person that Tracy Gold is portraying, and she's not happy. The title of it is It's Me, Nancy Walsh, Totally Misrepresented. I couldn't help but comment on my own movie story due to the ignorant and very upsetting comment I just read. So I don't know what the comment was, but it'll probably be indicated here once we get more context. So many years I thought that my movie would do others good since I became anorexic in the early 90s, not the 70s like the last person stated. However, even in the 90s, no one really talked about it or knew much about it for that matter, even myself. Even while it was happening, I didn't know. The movie idea was presented to me and I decided to go with it since it was the only way I knew how to reach out to people. And it wasn't for money because I didn't get barely anything and no royalties. So get that idea out of your head. From most feedback, it unfortunately did more harm than good. I hear a lot about it being a poor movie, but to go into medical detail in the movie would bore anyone out of watching it anyway, so they did the best they could with it by keeping it light but informative. It definitely did not go into detail or show the horror of it. It was definitely not a detailed and informative movie. It was just to bring awareness to society and show one woman's struggle. It was horrific and still is a nightmare I cannot get out of my head. There is no relief and no cure. I am a healthy woman and a mother of two beautiful children now who will hopefully never follow in my footsteps. God bless them. And it goes on from there, but wow. So she's not happy with how people receive this, but that is For the Love of Nancy. Let's jump to the other TV movies of 1994 that Mr. Devane proudly gave us. This one's also very interesting, and it's called Frogmen. And boy, it's interesting because it's got a place in pop culture history and criminal history for sure. Again, Frogmen, 1994 TV movie. I'll start you off with a synopsis, as I am prone to do. A team of Navy SEALs takes on special assignments for the government and the private sector. The operation is fronted out of a dive shop in Malibu. Their leader, John Bullfrog Burke, travels to Costa Rica with his SEALs to rescue a friend who married Burke's ex-wife. Burke's team includes a ladies' man, a master of disguise, and an expert con man. Which is funny. Now, I was in the Navy for a lot of years. I worked around a lot of SEALs, and it's true. Every SEAL team, in fact, has a ladies' man, a master of disguise, and an expert con man. Because apparently every Navy SEAL team is the fucking A-team. Anyway, that makes me laugh. Now, let's get to why this is interesting. The lead, John Bullfrog Burke, was played by O.J. Simpson. Okay? O.J. Simpson. Now, I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, I read The Run of His Life, which is a book about the entire murder trial when O.J. Simpson allegedly, in my opinion, did it. But he allegedly murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and a friend of hers, the waiter, Ron Goldman. Well, this book is like the kind of considered the go-to book. It's one that the FX series was based off of. And in that book, they talk about this theory that's really popular that O.J. Simpson purchased this knife with witnesses by. This is true. He purchased a knife while filming Frogmen, big old, you know, Navy SEAL type knife from a fancy knife store with witnesses. The cops believe that is the murder weapon. They say it matches the description. It matches what could have been used to do the damage. And they never found that knife. That knife to this day has never been found. And there are witnesses saying right around that time that he bought this knife. But of course, this was going to be a TV show, just, you know, Frogmen. Got canceled, of course, because of OJ's thing there. But that was a big thing even in the murder trials. It was like, look, he just filmed this scene with Navy SEAL, so he's got SEAL training now. He knows how to kill people with a knife. We have witnesses of people saying he bought a knife and we never, and by the way, the knife couldn't be found. Whether it's a murder weapon or not, there's witnesses saying, hey, on this date you bought this knife. How come you don't own it anymore? Where is it? Where's the fucking knife? And they can never produce it. So anyway, I'm gonna read some trivias here, which are probably going to, you know, reiterate some of the stuff I just said. Produced and filmed in early 1994, this made-for-TV movie was never publicly released because it was intended as a pilot for an NBC series to air in the fall of 94. And following O.J. Simpson's arrest, any plans for producing the series were canceled. The completed film, the dailies, production reports, scripts, and all of the paperwork were confiscated by the LAPD and the district attorney's office and examined during the course of the murder investigation. It was argued at one point that O.J. Simpson's training for his character as a Navy SEAL and Frogman might have facilitated his ability to commit the murders. After Simpson's acquittal in 95, the film remained then, and to this day, confiscated in the property of the Los Angeles Police Department. Here's a second trivia. During a break in filming, Todd Allen accompanied O.J. Simpson to a cutlery store where Simpson purchased a knife. The Los Angeles Police Department believed that the knife was the murder weapon, which was never discovered. And again, whether it's the murder weapon or not, there's witnesses saying he bought this super expensive knife, which this trivia doesn't say, but I read the book. It was a very expensive knife. And just a few weeks later, it's gone. He can't explain where it is. So murder weapon or not, where's the fucking knife, O.J.? Then finally, O.J. Simpson's last film work prior to the death of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and the effective ending of his acting career. So there you go. So that is Frogmen, and that is O.J. Simpson. That fucking guy gets to keep walking this earth, which blows my mind. He's on Twitter every day, all the time. What is it? Hey, Twitterverse, it's yours truly. Having a good old time. I don't know how Ron Goldman's father hasn't shot him like a fucking dog in the street, but It's not for me to decide, I guess. Okay, now, I want to take a look at Mr. Devane's straight-to-VHS film of 1994. It was Lady in Waiting, and it's unrated. Ooh, that means sexy time, right? Unrated. If you look at the cover of the box, it's a woman in lingerie, so of course. First I'll read you the synopsis, then I'll read you the box. A divorced cop investigating the sadistic murders of a high-class prostitute discovers that the prime suspect is his ex-wife's new boyfriend. He tries to warn her about him, but she treats his suspicions as jealousy. Well, someone didn't watch Frogman with O.J. Simpson. Now, if you look at the box, like I said, it's a woman in lingerie holding a pistol, a smoking gun, a smoldering passion. Murder never looked so good. Straight to video. Oh, boy. The title and the poster tells us exactly what this movie is. Let's take a look at the cast. Who's in it? Michael Norrie is in it. Robert Costanzo. Shannon Worry, who's kind of a staple of these kind of movies. Meg Foster, who she had a big career in the 70s. I'm surprised she's in this. William Devane. A little sad for William Devane to be in this. Janine Lindemolder is in it. Janine Lindemolder was a big porn star in the 90s. She went by Janine at first, then added the last name Lindemolder later on. But she was a big deal. That's about that. So let's look at the rest of the 90s. What do you say? You want to jump ahead? We have a lot to get through today. We're going to jump ahead and look at the 90s. So in 95, Devane gets his own show again, and he does three shitty-looking TV movies as well. First, we'll talk about the show. It's The Monroes, 1995. It lasted only 9 episodes, a soap opera about a Kennedy-esque political family, which is interesting because, you know, he's played Kennedy before, so he's still staying in that world. Now, this wasn't the Kennedys, but it was based on the Kennedys. Let's take a look at the cast. No one of note. William Devane, Susan Sullivan. Not many people. Brian Keith, Mike Farrell from MASH. Michael Benedetti, Jennifer Coolidge. Jennifer Coolidge, she was Stifler's mom. Jenna Elfman, love Jenna Elfman. Willie Garson, that bald guy. He was SJP's friend in Sex and the City. That's how I know her. Lee Garlington. All right, we got some players in here. We got some people. But I'm going to go back to my man, Michael Benedetti. Michael Benedetti, I'll tell you why. So, as I've stated several times, I loved 21 Jump Street growing up. Loved it. Towards the end, though, the final season, the main cast was kind of depleted. So, what's his face? Peter DeLuise, he was on limited role. He was kind of moving out of the show. So, he was only in some of the episodes. Johnny Depp was off the show completely. And then earlier, they had kind of preemptively tried to replace Johnny Depp with Richard Grieco, but they gave Booker his own show. So at this point, Johnny Depp's gone. Peter DeLuise is only there half the time. So they brought in some replacements. So they brought in Peter DeLuise's brother, who I believe was Michael DeLuise. They brought him in to play his brother. And they brought in a guy named Michael Benedetti to kind of replace the Hanson character played by Johnny Depp. So he's supposed to be like the new Johnny Depp. It didn't work. No charisma. Didn't like him. I was a big Johnny Depp fan. Didn't like this guy, Michael Benedetti. No disrespect to him, but his big shoes to fill. But what pissed me off was in the early 2000s, they started releasing the series on DVD. So seasons 1 through 4 were awesome, right? I loved it. Season 5 on DVD comes out, and again, it's Johnny Depp on the cover, and it's all that, but he's like in no episodes. Only like in one episode, I think. So I remember being pissed off at the DVDs because they kind of build season 5, or whatever the last season was, I think it's 5, as a Johnny Depp season. It's not. It's Michael Benedetti. Another funny thing, though, about those DVDs, if you remember the show when you watched it on TV, a big part of that show was the music. They use a lot of current music, REM, stuff like that. But not the DVDs, man. The DVDs, it was all generic stuff because I guess they didn't have the licensing because no one knew that one day these shows would be released. You could buy them and watch them at home. So anyway, but that's The Monroes. I don't know anything about the show. I know we're sitting here going on a tangent about 21 Jump Street. I'll read a review for you, though. Let's do that. Let's read a review. This one's a pretty good show. That's a compelling review title. Pretty good show. I wish that ABC had given this show some time to gain an audience before taking it off the air. I myself was getting into it. I loved the Monroes and their relationship with each other and with the others. It brought me back to the Ewings of Dallas back in the 80s. They are not patient with shows as they once were. Dallas, Bonanza, and other classic shows took some time before people started to watch them. Sometimes it was in the second or third season, but at least they gave them time to build an audience. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, but that's it for the Monroes. So now let's take a gander at the three 1995 TV movies that he did. That's the show. Let's look at the movies. He did Falling from the Sky, Flight 174. It's a Canadian plane running on fumes. Nothing much there. Virus, which was like an outbreak type of movie with Nicolette Sheridan as the lead. So Nicolette Sheridan, of course, was Devane's co-star in Knots Landing. She plays a scientist. So this is like an outbreak type movie again. It's called Virus. The scientist solving all the shit is played by Nicolette Sheridan, which I love when they do that. That attractive, and not that attractive young women can't be scientists who solve all the world's problems. But whenever I see it, I think of Tara Reid in Sharknado. She's playing a scientist. I'm like, oh boy, Tara Reid. She shouldn't even be an Uber driver, much less a fucking scientist. And then finally, the third movie is Detonator 2. Night Watch. If you're a fan of Detonator, then you're going to love Detonator 2, Night Watch. Now, you would think this is a sequel to Detonator, right? Well, kind of. Yes and no. So there was a movie called Detonator, whose original title was Death Train. So on IMDb, there's some loyalists who are calling this movie the sequel to Death Train, right? While others are content with this being a sequel to Detonator. So is it Death Train 2, Detonator 2? I don't know. You know which camp I'm in? The Who Gives a Shit camp. So but let's go ahead and read about this movie anyway. So Detonator 2 or Death Train 2, whatever you're more comfortable with that. I don't want to offend anyone. Here's the synopsis. Rembrandt's Night Watch. Okay, actually, I don't like that review. I'll read you another synopsis. UN agents Mike Graham and Sabrina Carver are sent by their director, Nick Caldwell, to investigate the theft of Rembrandt's painting, The Night Watch. The trail takes them from Amsterdam to Hong Kong and involves them in not only art theft and forgery, but the high-tech schemes of Martin Schrader and his South Korean cohort, Mao Yishin. Yishin? Mao Yishin. Anyway, so the lead is Pierce Brosnan. His sidekick is Alexandra Paul. She was a tall, thin brunette from Baywatch. I think she was in it throughout the entire run of the series. She was the only non-sex kitten type female on the show. Of course, William Devane. Who else is in this? If I dig deep, will I find other people? I'm going to go all the way through the cast. Let's see. Surely we'll find someone. Oh, Goran Vishnick. Vishnick? He was on the later seasons of ER. So there's a deep cut. No, that's about it. But anyway, so that is Detonator 2. Now, 1996 is move ahead. 1996 is more of the same kind of stuff from Devane. The TV movies, the straight to VHS shit. In 96, he does an episode of Hope and Gloria and a TV movie called, wait for it, TV movie called Forgotten Sins. Is that not a perfect TV movie title? Forgotten Sins. As opposed to Remembered Sins. All right, Forgotten Sins. Why not? I'll dive in. Here's the synopsis. A county sheriff is accused by his two daughters of having abused them. Under interrogation and guided by his pastor, he thinks the devil has blinded him to his guilt and confesses. The girls' accusations get more and more elaborate, involving satanic rituals, their mother, other police officers, and neighbors. A memory expert is called in to clarify the growing confusion and can easily see the girls are lying. So love how this guy goes right to, maybe the devil fucking possessed me and I did it. Boy, OJ didn't have that gene, did he? he went to deny. This guy's like, yeah, I must have done it. The devil made me forget. Anyway, so that's that. Do we want to look at the cast? Why not? William Devane, Bess Armstrong. Bess Armstrong was, she had a career. She was in that Tom Hanks movie with, oh, shit. Him and Jackie Gleason. I think it's called You Again or something to that effect. Dee Norris is in this. He played Hank. He was Walter White's brother-in-law in Breaking Bad. Great show. Anyone else? I'm looking. No other real names in this guy. But I don't know. This movie came and went. It's called Forgotten Sins. It should have been called Forgotten TV Movie. All right. So now we're moving into 97. This marks a return for Knots Landing. How about that? So they did a 3-episode reunion miniseries. Devane was in 2 of those episodes. So there's that. That's interesting. He was really busy in 97. He did an episode of Touched by an Angel, another show I never watched. He also did 2 TV movies, The Absolute Truth with Jane Seymour and Doomsday Rock with Connie Selica. How about that? He did an episode of Time Cop. Now, did anyone remember this was a show? Time Cop, of course, was that movie. It was Stallone, Wesley Snipes, a pre-speed Sandra Bullock as well, before she was famous. That big movie, Stallone, Wesley Snipes, Sandra Bullock, they made it into a TV show, which I honestly had no clue, or if I did know, I forgot. Only lasted 9 episodes, though. But also in 97, Devane does another straight-to-VHS feature, exception to the rule. So let's read about that. Exception to the rule. 1997, was it straight to VHS? Is that what I said? Yeah, straight to VHS. These days it'd be straight to DVR. All right, here's a synopsis. It's a fun synopsis. That's why I want to read about it. A married jewel trader is seduced by a beautiful woman while on a business trip. Upon returning home, he receives a videotape in the mail of his tryst and a threat to ruin his marriage if he doesn't turn a shipment of diamonds over to the woman. Damn, that's some tough shit. Who's the cast? Well, Sean Young. Crazy, crazy, crazy Sean Young. So Sean Young had a killer career in basically in the 80s. After that, it was over. She was in Blade Runner. You know, she was in that Kevin Costner movie. What was that Kevin Costner movie? One of his better, No Way Out. That was it. Great career. She went off the crazy train, though. And I remember this as it was happening. So Batman came out in, I think it was in 89. Huge hit, right? Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, huge hit. Now they announced plans to make a sequel, and it's out there that they're going to have Catwoman in. Well, she went on a really public campaign, Sean Young did, to be Catwoman. Even as far as this, like, I remember watching Arsenio Hall one night. Sean Young was the guest, and she came out in a Catwoman outfit. Like, trying to get, and publicly saying, yeah, because I want to get this role. Like, does anyone think it's going to work? Do you think there's producers of this basic $150 million movie watching Arsenio and saying, that's it, let's give it to her because she's on Arsenio acting like a batshit crazy lunatic. Let's give her the role. But after that, she kind of got known as being a weirdo. So Sean Young basically kind of destroyed herself. But again, we're back to exception to the rule. Sean Young, Kim Cattrall is in this. Eric McCormick before Will and Grace. William Devane. A pretty good cast, right? Let's take a look. If I go deep, will I find anyone else? I always love going deep and finding someone. Oh, come on. Don't disappoint me. Nah, I'm disappointed. No one else big in it, but that is exception to the rule. I wonder what happened. I wonder if he got the diamonds or who knows. So back to William Devane. He doesn't work in 98 at all, but 99 is a good year, and he ends the 90s with a really, really, really big bang. He does 5 episodes of Early Edition. This was a fun show. Let's read about it. It ran from 96 to 2000, 90 episodes. I caught a few episodes of it. It was actually a really fun show. Here's the synopsis. His name is Gary Hobson. He gets tomorrow's newspaper today. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know why. All he knows is when the Early Edition hits his doorstep, he has 24 hours to set things right. That was pretty cool. I always thought that was kind of a fun a synopsis or a fun premise for a show. The cast, the lead was Kyle Chandler. Can't go wrong with Kyle Chandler. Friday Night Lights, Bloodline. God, that guy's done so many things. I love Kyle Chandler. Big, big fan of his. This was an early thing for him. Fisher Stevens was in this. Christy Swanson was in this. Who else? Any other big names? That's about the most worth mentioning. But yeah, it's a fun show. It lasted 4 years, kind of quietly. It was a kind of quiet success, you know? So in 99, Devane pulls another Bill Bixby. He gets another show of his own, another one. It only lasted 13 episodes, but shit, still. I mean, the guys had like, 6 or 7 shows at this point. This one's called Turks. Again, 99, lasted 13 episodes. A family of Chicago cops tries to do right by each other and the city they call their home. The lead is Mr. William Devane. No other big names that I'm noticing in this. No other real big names. But that is Turks. Anything else about that? No. The biggest thing he did in 99 really was the Mel Gibson film Payback, if you remember that. It was a remake of a really cool movie. I think it was a Lee Marvin movie, but let's read about Payback first. So in 99, Devane is in Payback, starring Mel Gibson. After a successful heist, Porter is left for dead. Once he recovers, he seeks vengeance and wants his share of the money. Again, the lead was Mel Gibson. Maria Bello was in this. David Paymer was in this. He's a great that guy. Bill Duke, another great. Bill Duke is a black that guy. Deborah Unger. Good cast, man. Lucy Liu, Chris Christopherson. What a great fucking cast in this movie. Now, this was a remake, though, like I said, of the 1967 classic Lee Marvin movie, rather, Point Blank, which was directed by John Borman. John Borman was, he directed Deliverance. Kind of interesting about John Borman. There's this thing I really want to buy. I should buy it. I found it on this website. So I like to go into these auction websites and buy cool autograph stuff from actors. I've got, as I'm sitting here in my office now, I've got autographs from Brewster, Telly Savalas, Jack Lord. George Papard, George C. Scott, you name it. I like to buy cool stuff from those folks. And even Squeaky Fromm, one of the Manson girls, I have an autographed thing of hers as well. Sad to say. But I found this thing by John Boorman. So I guess when you get invited to attend the Academy Awards, they send you this sheet of paper and you're supposed to indicate back if you're coming, if you're bringing a guest and all that. And then you sign it, you print your name, you sign it. And it's John Boorman's. And in a year in which he was nominated for Best Director, which I don't recall what movie, but it was sometime in the 70s. And I'm like, damn, I should buy that. It's only a couple $100. But I thought, what a cool piece of Oscar history. I mean, this director is nominated that year. He checked back that he is attending. He's bringing a guest. So I thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, back to this. The 1999 version was Mel Gibson. The original version was Lee Marvin. Now, the 90s are over, right? So now we're in the 2000s. And Devane again comes out swinging. The credits start to get a little bit better for a little bit here. He does two big movies. He does Hollow Man. That's basically a twist on the whole Invisible Man thing. It stars Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Shue. I don't remember it being a very good movie. I don't remember it being horrible either. But 2000, Hollow Man, check it out. Again, Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Shue. Then he also did Space Cowboys. Now, this movie, I really enjoyed Space Cowboys. Let's read about this. This was, I believe it was directed by Eastwood. Yeah, it was directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Clint Eastwood. Here is the synopsis. When retired engineer Frank Corvin, played by Clint Eastwood, is called upon to rescue a failing satellite, he insists that his equally old teammates accompany him into space. So basically, it's him and a bunch of old test pilots from like 40 years prior to that are now having to become trained as astronauts to go out in outer space. Great cast. It's Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, Donald Sutherland, James Garner, James Cromwell, Marcia Gay Harden, William Devane. I mean, killer cast, man. Jay Leno makes an appearance, probably as himself. Yeah, it's as himself. But I remember really liking this movie, man. Directed by Eastwood. Really fun movie. Get a chance, check it out. Space Cowboys. Tommy Lee Jones and Clint Eastwood are kind of like frenemies in this one. They keep going at it with each other. Donald Sutherland is like the ladies' man, I believe. James Garner, I believe, ends up falling in love with Marcia Gay Harden's character. I don't know. Fun stuff. So let me pause real quick, and then we'll pick this thing back up. Whew, and I'm back. I had to cough and drink some water. Still got a little bit of this COVID in me, man. COVID ravaged our holidays. But I'm here for you, so I'm fighting through it. So again, in 2000, Devane also does 9 episodes of The Michael Richards Show. How about that? Michael Richards. So of course, Michael Richards famously was Kramer and famously has not gotten his career going since then. But this show, how long did it last? 2000 only lasted 9 episodes. Yikes. The show is about Vic Nardozza, played by Michael Richards, a lanky and bumbly PI working for McKay Investigative Services. Throughout the show, there are misunderstandings, screw-ups, which get in the way of the job, but he always ends up getting it done. I don't know, man. So a great cast, so Michael Richards, William Devane, Bill Cobbs. I always liked him. Tim Meadows. I love Tim Meadows from Second City and SNL. Ed Begley Jr. Lots of people appeared on the show. Who else have made appearances? Any big names? Bill Irwin. Who else? Let's see if there's any big names who appeared. Because I'll tell my story. Oh, Paul Wilson appeared in this. Paul Wilson was famous for Cheers. I met him once at a sketch comedy contest I was in. Anyway, so interesting thing. So Michael Richards, of course, had that big meltdown at the was it the Comedy Store? I believe it was at the Comedy Store, where he got mad. He started yelling out the N-word. Well, I met Michael Richards 2 weeks prior to that, maybe 3 weeks prior, but a couple weeks prior to that. It was the coolest thing. So I was working, I probably told this story in the podcast before, I apologize, but I was working at Second City. I was a student at Second City in LA, and I was an intern. That's how I was able to pay to get through their conservatories. My ass was broke. So I was an intern, and one night in between shows, we had some, the theater was dark, meaning there was nothing going on. So it was like probably like an 8 o'clock show. The 9:30 show was dark. Then there was like a later show, like 11 or something like that. So while it was dark, we shared a building with the improv, and like literally there's a little hallway that connected the buildings. So the theater's dark, and I was going to go next door to the improv, have a drink at the bar, hang out until I had to come back and get the theater ready for that last show of the night. So I turn the lights off. I open the door to step out and go to the improv, and boom, I run into this guy who's by himself talking to himself, and holy shit, it's Michael Richards. I'm like, oh my God. So I go past him, I go to the bathroom. I'm talking to myself. I'm like, well, surely I got to go say hi to Michael Richards. So I come out of the bathroom. I go back in. So I go back up to him like, hey, you know, how's it going? Whatever I say. And he's like, oh, I'm good. And he asks, he goes, what's in that room that you just came out of? I said, oh, well, that's Second City. That's our theater. He goes, oh, well, that's great. Do you mind if I rehearse in there? So basically I bring him in there. So they can practice. So as I'm bringing him in, he tells me that he's just getting back into stand-up, hadn't done it in years. He's like, do you mind if I get on the stage and kind of just go through my stuff for you? I'm like, Please. So I'm in a small theater alone, just me and Michael Richards. I sit down and he goes through his stuff. And I'll tell you what, he's Kramer. Like, because I remember asking him, I was like, because he, again, he mentioned he hasn't done stand-up in years. I was like, are you nervous? He's like, oh, I'm nervous. You know, and he did the hand point and everything, the finger point. It was crazy. I remember he did his stand-up for me for 10, 15 minutes alone. And then when he was done, he thanked me and he went back into the improv. I'm like, oh my God. I remember calling everyone I knew. This before camera phones. This would have been, 2005. Maybe early 2006, but they were camera phones, and I didn't have a camera with me. So I didn't have a photo of it or a video or any of it, but it was a really cool night, and it was probably about 2 weeks later that he had the meltdown at the Comedy Store, and there you go. So I felt bad, but I will tell you, in my experience with him one-on-one, very friendly guy, was very kind to me, really nice, and a funny guy. Now, I made a note for this Michael Richards show to read the last trivia, so let me go ahead and scroll down to the trivia here. I just wanted to take some time to make it about me. Co-star William Devane stated in a 2015 AV Club interview that he did not enjoy working on this show. So there you go. So Mr. Devane did the Michael Richards show, but he did not like it. So how about that? So, but again, he's on the show. He's a series regular. So now he's been like the series regular, like on 7 or 8 shows at this point. It's pretty crazy. So another movie Devane, though, did in 2000 was Poor White Trash. I've never seen it, but I remember the box from the working in the video store or just being in video stores a lot. Because on the cover of the box is Jamie Presley, who is one of my top 5 of all time. She's so fucking hot. Now, here's a synopsis. A white trash family must resort to crime to send their teenage son to college. So the cast includes Sean Young, crazy Sean Young, wanted to be Catwoman, William Devane, who else? Let's scroll through. Danielle Harris from Halloween, Patrick Renna. He was the chubby kid from The Sandlot. Overrated movie, by the way. Emmett Walsh. I just watched a movie with Emmett Walsh. I was watching... He was the parole officer in Straight Time, which I think was like a 1978-79 movie with Dustin Hoffman. Tim Kazurinsky was in this, Jason London, Jamie Presley, oh my lord. But the cover of the box here, the poster is Jamie Presley. Again, never saw the movie, but the poster or the movie box stood out to me because it had Miss Jamie Presley on the cover. Now, it wouldn't be William Devane if he didn't also squeeze in a few TV movies, right? My man loves TV movies, right? They love him too. 2000, he did Miracle on the Mountain, the Kincaid family story. Basically, a plane crashes in the snowy mountains, people survive, blah, blah, blah. We've seen it a bunch. Co-star Patty Duke, though. Speaking of Patty Duke, I just watched, while I've had COVID, I've had a lot of chance to watch movies and I'm trying to catch up on some movies where I've got blind spots, stuff I've never seen. And believe it or not, for as much as I enjoy Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and the Charles Manson stuff, I've never seen Valley of the Dolls. So I watched Valley of the Dolls, and Sharon Tate was great in it, by the way. But my gosh, just Patty Duke, she steals that movie. Patty Duke is fantastic in that movie. So anyway, this movie co-starred Patty Duke. So there you go. Devane also did The Man Who Used to Be Me. Fun title and an equally fun synopsis. So The Man Who Used to Be Me, the 2000 TV movie. A former policeman gets the opportunity to travel back in time to catch his father's murderer and in so doing runs into his younger self. Well, how about that? That's kind of fun, right? Let's take a look here. Otherwise, it's pretty forgettable. The cast, William Devane, Rob Estes, who I think was like in the later seasons of like Melrose Place or something. He was one of those 90s actors who... He's like a crappier version of Dean Cain. I think the original version of Dean Cain is pretty crappy. So, Lori Holden was in this though. Lori Holden went on to be in The Walking Dead. We looked at her. Her death was pretty sad in The Walking Dead. And that's about that for The Man Who Used to Be Me. Over the next several years, he does some solid TV guest spots. He does Judging Amy, The X-Files, The West Wing, Stargate, SG-1, 20 episodes of 24 between 2005 and 2007. Over this time, he also does a lot of features in TV movies that I had never heard of. Several of them are those Tom Selleck, Jesse Stone TV movies. So I say several. Let me read them out for you. We're about to have a lot of Tom Selleck, a lot of Jesse Stone. 2006, Jesse Stone, Death in Paradise. 2007, Jesse Stone, Sea Change. 2009, Jesse Stone, Thin Ice. 2010, Jesse Stone, No Remorse. 2014, Jesse Stone, Innocence Lost. 2012, Jesse Stone, Benefit of the Doubt. 2015, Jesse Stone, Lost in Paradise. Whew, that is a lot of Jesse Stone. 7, in fact. That's 7 Jesse Stone movies. So, Who is Jesse Stone, you ask? Well, I've got some half-assed research for us. I'm going to read. I'm going to educate you on who the hell is Jesse Stone. So, Jesse Stone is the lead character in a series of detective novels written by Robert B. Parker. The character begins the series at about 35 years old. He is a former minor league baseball shortstop whose career was cut short by a shoulder injury. He was raised in Arizona and California. He was asked to resign from his job as a homicide detective for the LAPD Robbery Homicide Division because of a drinking problem that began after his divorce from his beautiful wife, Jennifer. Showing up drunk to an interview for a job as police chief for the small town of Paradise, Massachusetts, which is loosely based on the real town of Marblehead, Massachusetts, Stone is hired because the corrupt president of the town thinks he will be easy to control. Stone quickly notices that the town has big league crime, struggling with the mob, wildly errant wives, and a triple homicide, and that his job would be more difficult than he expected. But he proves to be up to the task, beginning with making a corruption case against the town council president and arresting him. In the novels, Stone typically carries a .38 special snub-nosed revolver, the same weapon that he carried as an LAPD detective. The series chronicles Stone's cases as chief of the Paradise Police Department, as well as his struggles with alcohol and his complicated relationship with his ex-wife, Jen. He is respected and well-liked by the police officers in the town police department. He develops a good working relationship and friendship with the state police homicide commander, Captain Healy. So that is more than you ever thought you'd want to know about Jesse Stone. Now, let's look at some of these synopses. So I read through all of them. I identified three that seem like they might be fun to read about. So we'll start with the first one. 2006, Jesse Stone, Death in Paradise. Here's the synopsis. A body is found on the shore of a lake. Police Chief Jesse Stone starts an investigation. It turns out to be a pregnant high school student. There's also a case of a persistent wife beater. Jesse starts seeing a shrink and dating. That's a synopsis. So we got a dead high school girl who's pregnant. There's also a guy beating his wife. And Jesse thinks, I'm going to start seeing a shrink and get out on the dating scene. So that's the first one. Now, 2007, Jesse Stone, Sea Change. I want to read the synopsis here. Let's take a look. Nope, that's the same one I just read. Let me pull it up here. Jesse Stone, Sea Change. From 2007. Police Chief Jesse Stone's shrink recommends looking into old unsolved cases to reduce drinking by staying busy. Of three cases before his time, he starts on the killing of a bank teller. He's also investigating an alleged rape. So that's that. Now, I made a note to read the cast on this one. Let's take a look at the cast, which we should probably do anyway. Of course, Jesse Stone is played by Tom Selleck. Kathy Baker is in this. Who else is in this one? Sean Young. Oh my gosh, she's back. How about that? William Sadler is in this. William Sadler was in the early seasons of Roseanne. He was also one of the gang there in one of the buddies there in Shawshank Redemption. That's how I kind of know him. That's about it. Saul Rubinek is in this. Saul Rubinek. He was in, I was just watching a Saul Rubinek movie. He's in a bunch of stuff. He was in, he was, I think, the lawyer friend of Michael Douglas's in Fatal Attraction. I was just recently watching him in True Romance. He was in that one. He's like the coked out movie producer. Viola Davis was in this. Wow, got a really good cast, actually, as I look through it. How about that? So now let's jump ahead to 2012's Jesse Stone, Benefit of the Doubt. This is the last synopsis I'll read of Jesse Stone. Jesse Stone comes out of involuntary retirement after the new chief who replaced him was blown up, along with another officer in their police car. Jesse is forced to solve the crime on his own since all the other officers have quit. How about that? So all the officers have quit. Now Jesse Stone's a one-man force. So those Jesse Stone movies spanned 2006 to 2015. So now we missed a lot of Devane credits, so let's kind of jump back a little bit and look at a few interesting credits that he was doing during that time. In 2006, he once again gets a TV show. My man is like the official Bill Bixby Award winner for most TV shows. He landed Crumbs. 2006 only lasted 13 episodes. Let's take a look at the cast. Well, actually, we'll start with the synopsis, right? Mitch Crumb is a gay Hollywood screenwriter who returns to his hometown. His mother, Suzanne, who tried to take out his strange husband, Billy, is newly released and needs his help. They hang out at their family-owned restaurant. That's a weird one. So Mitch Crumb, the gay screenwriter there, is played by Fred Savage. Eddie McClintock is in this. Jane Curtin is the mom. William Devane is in this. He plays Billy Crumb. Good cast. Now, it's interesting. So I mentioned The Bill Bixby Award, right? Well, the guy who directed this show was Ted Wass. Ted Wass played the dad in Blossom. Now, one of the primary directors of Blossom was, in fact, Bill Bixby. So it's all connected on Fanacek. And in fact, Bill Bixby was directing an episode of Blossom, co-starring Ted Wass, when he collapsed. And then later on, he passed away from cancer. But there you go. So I found a neat way to connect that. But that is Crumbs. I don't even really remember it, except I kind of remember Jane Curtin getting another show. So 2010, though, my man William Devane does a movie called The River Wye. So let's talk about The River Wye from 2010. A young man abandons his family for a solitary life. Can't blame him. No, I'm kidding. A young man abandons his family for a solitary life of fly fishing. I could blame him. That doesn't sound fun at all. Okay, take three. A young man abandons his family for a solitary life of fly fishing. His goal was to find his own way in the fishing world and thereby find himself and love. I get it. If you can become a good fisherman, you'll find yourself and you'll find love, because women love nothing more than due to fucking fish all the time. The cast... Zach Gilford is the lead. Zach Gilford, Amber Heard, William Hurt. Good. Kathleen Quinlan. This has got a killer cast. Of course, Mr. Devane. So let's go back. So for Zach Gilford, he played Saracen, the backup quarterback who becomes the lead quarterback in the TV show Friday Night Lights, which I mentioned earlier because it all comes together on Fanacek. Amber Heard. She had a career until she hooked up with Johnny Depp, and they both seemed crazy. William Hurt, who passed away not too long ago. Great cast. Interesting, interesting. That's The River Wye. All right, I'm glad I read about it. Okay, in the 2010s, his TV credits start ramping up again, right? So in the 2010s, Devane does episodes of King of the Hill, Psych, NCIS, 12 episodes of 24, Live Another Day, which is interesting because there was only 12 episodes of that. That's when they kind of brought 24 back for a mini run. But was each episode 2 hours long, you know, because it's 24, but there's only 12 episodes. I don't know. Because the original premise was one episode for every hour of the day. Who cares? I don't know. He's also still rocking the TV movies during this time. 2011, he does Good Morning Killer. Let's read about Good Morning Killer. I'm not sold on that title. Good Morning Killer, here is the synopsis. Follows FBI Special Agent Anna Gray as she hunts for a kidnapper. As Anna develops a rapport with the kidnapper's latest victim, the suspect suddenly changes his pattern. Now, Anna must race to find him before he strikes again. Anna was played by JAG's Catherine Bell. How about that? Titus Welliver, he's in this too. Titus Welliver has been in a bunch of stuff. I think he's on that show Bosch, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, Bosch, which is going to come back later. Titus Welliver was also, he was in a season, or maybe more, of Sons of Anarchy. Good stuff there. So I got to meet and work with Catherine Bell. So I did an episode of JAG years ago, back in the acting days. And Catherine Bell, who was pretty pregnant at the time, super friendly. I just remember her talking about how she was hoping to get out of there soon because she had an art show to go to with her partner, husband, boyfriend, I don't know. But I remember her being really pregnant and being really friendly. So there's that. And that is Good Morning Killer. And again, Titus Welliver will come back. And then in 2012, Devane does a TV movie with an epic synopsis. Epic synopsis. It's called Red Clover. Here is the synopsis. A young woman accidentally releases a homicidal leprechaun while hunting, which brings back memories of her own town's deadly past. I'm going to reread that one. A young woman accidentally releases a homicidal leprechaun while hunting, which brings back memories of her own town's deadly past. Oh, this has shitfest written all over it. I'm looking at the cast. William Devane, I know that name. Pretty sure I don't know any other name. Let's take a look. I'm going to keep looking. Let's see if I find any other. Billy Zane is in it. What the fuck is Billy Zane doing in this? How do you go from Titanic in 1997 to fucking this Leprechaun movie in 2012? What's going on there? Anyway, so that's that. That's funny. Billy Zane, that poor fucking guy. And he's like the seventh lead in it too, which makes me laugh. He's not even like the main guy. I can see if he's the lead. Probably, you know, get kind of a check for $250,000. You work for a couple weeks. No, he's like the seventh lead. He probably made like $14,000. And then also in 2012, Mr. Devane books a solid movie. Big. It's huge. It's pretty epic, actually. 2012's The Dark Knight Rises. You probably thought I was going to be sarcastic with some shitty movie, but I wasn't. It's a real big one, man. He played the president. How about that? You've probably all seen it. You know it, but I'll read the synopsis anyway. 8 years after the Joker's reign of chaos, Batman is coerced out of exile with the assistance of the mysterious Selina Kyle in order to defend Gotham City from the vicious guerrilla terrorist Bane. That's pretty cool. I liked Bane. I was a big fan of Bane's. The cast of this movie goes surprisingly deep. Check it out. So, of course, Christian Bale, Tom Hardy as Bane, Anne Hathaway, Selena Kyle, Gary Oldman, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Marion Cotillard, the French lady, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Matthew Modine, Ben Mendelsohn. Ben Mendelsohn's great. He's an Australian actor. I first discovered him in Bloodline with Kyle Chandler. So there you go. It all comes together. Great Netflix show. Go check it out. Aidan Gillen's in this. Aidan Gillen was in, he played Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Let's take a look. I know there's some other people in this. When you keep going through, you start to see like even big name people in smaller roles. Juno Temple is in this from Ted Lasso. How about that? She's also now doing Fargo, season 5 of Fargo. Check that out. It's so good. Who else? Thomas Lennon is in this. Wow. Desmond Harrington. So I grew up with Desmond Harrington. I've talked about that a lot. Desmond Harrington, who was in Dexter for many seasons, and now he played a cop in this. So there you go. That is 2012's The Dark Knight Rises. We're almost done, folks, I promise. In 2016, Devane once again landed a TV show. And once again, it was with Fred Savage, which I think is so funny. The Grinder, 2015 to 2016, only lasted 22 episodes. Let's pull it up here. The Grinder. Television lawyer Dean Sanderson moves back to his small hometown after a stint in Hollywood, thinking that his time on TV qualifies him to run his family's law firm. Now, that guy was Mr. Rob Lowe. Fred Savage played his brother. Who else is in this? Any other big names? Mr. Devane. Steve Little. Steve Little is a that guy in comedy. Steve Little was great. He was the sidekick, like the real kind of feminine, squirrely in Eastbound and Down. Go check out Eastbound and Down, starring Danny McBride. Well, Steve Little was the sidekick in that. He was great. Maya Rudolph did this. Jason Alexander did this. Timothy Oliphant did this. Man, we got some big-ass names, man. I love it. Colton Haynes. Dig it. I dig it. I dig it. Oh, Kamal Nanjiani. That guy. Okay. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So that is The Grinder. I made a note, though, to read one of the trivias jumped out at me. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. Must have something to do with Mr. Devane. William Devane and Rob Lowe, who play father and son, have both played President John F. Kennedy and made for TV movies 39 years apart. Devane in The Missiles of October in 1974 and Lowe in Killing Kennedy in 2013. That's kind of neat. So William took some R&R, though, between 2016 and 2022. Did not work. So between 2016 and 2022, he didn't work. But in 2022, he came back in a big way with 4 episodes of Bosch Legacy. So Bosch was a hit TV show. They brought it back for this thing called Bosch Legacy. Never watched it. Bosch embarks on the next chapter of his career and finds himself working with his one-time enemy, Honey Chandler. So Bosch star Titus Welliver, who has worked with William Devane before. We talked about that. Mimi Rogers in this. A little known fact, a lot of people don't know this. Mimi Rogers was actually Tom Cruise's first wife, but a lot of folks don't seem to know that. So again, my man does 4 episodes of this. And then he's got one credit. That's his last completed credit. Now, he's got one credit in production, William Devane does. It's called Hell to Pay. Little else is known, but it's going to be coming out soon. And that kind of concludes his credits. But let's kind of take a quick look at his personal life. He married Eugenie McCabe in 1961, and they live in Sherman Oaks, Los Angeles, with their 2 sons, Joshua, who is a real estate agent, and Jake, a lawyer. He has 2 grandsons and is now married to Debbie Morrison. He splits his time between his ranches in California and Montana. So I hope, Mr. Devane, that you keep producing content, you keep making movies, you keep making TV shows. I want to say thank you. Thank you for a life well lived, a fun career. It's been a pleasure doing 3 episodes about your work. I've always been a big fan of yours. I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you for listening. This concludes season 4 of Fanacheck. I'm going to take a couple weeks off. I'm going to do some different stuff in 2024, to be honest with you. I'm probably going to do less episodes because I'm focusing on another Fanacheck project that's going to kind of take my time. So I'm not really sure what 2024 is going to look like with the podcast, but I assure you I will be back on a regular basis, but just likely not every week. But thank you for listening. You know, I get so many people reaching out to me on Facebook and email. I love it. So if you want some Fanacheck stickers, I just got a new shipment in. You can email me, fanacheckpodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook. I am Real Fanacheck. I'm on Twitter @FanacheckPodcast. Thank you. I hope you had a great 2023. I hope you have a great 2024. I've been doing this now almost 18 months. Thank you so much for listening. It's been such a pleasure. I look forward to producing more shows in 2024. And just do me a favor, as we head into the new year, be kind to others, be kind to yourselves, and stay tuned for the next exciting episode of Fanatic.